Okay, so I've got a interesting topic or topics. At least I think they're interesting, but it pertains to the subjects that some of what we've had in the gospel, but it also relates to current events. And so I call it wickedness or current events, forgiveness and purpose. How are those related? Let's find out. So back home, which is Illinois for me and my family, we've been going through a number of kings in Second Chronicles, and I've really enjoyed it because, well, for these kings that I'm going to talk about, they followed the Lord. Not all of them did, of course, but these kings did. So I hope your fingers are ready to turn some pages or flip through your phone, because we're going to go through a number of different examples, and hopefully bring about something that each of you can take with you wherever you go back home, or wherever home is. So the first one is 2 Chronicles 22, and I'm going to start in verse 10. 2 Chronicles 22, verse 10, "But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. And he was with him hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land." Now, I have 3 children, 7, 5, and 3, and they are precious, and to me anyway. And when I read this first verse, "When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah." Many of us that are familiar with Scripture, or all of us, we've probably read these verses I don't know how many times. And we can sometimes, I wouldn't say gloss over it, but we're familiar with it, so we read it like, oh yeah, I remember that. And then we go on to the next verse, the next chapter. But we have here a grandmother killing her grandchildren. That tells you what kind of lady this was. I can't imagine someone that would do that. But it's recorded in Scripture that this was a queen, really, who killed her grandchildren because she wanted power. And she saw it. She saw that it was within her grasp. If she could kill everyone of the heritage, then she would reign supreme. At least that's what she thought. So, I don't know how old most of you are, but I know when I was a senior in high school, and this is going to date me a little bit, but when I was a senior in high school, it was about the time of graduation when the first high school shooting took place, 1999. Some of you were probably only 2 or 3 years old then. But that really affected me because those were people that were my age. And I thought, wow, this is crazy. What's going on? So I really did a lot of research into it. It really affected me. I find that if I get onto a certain subject, I like to dive right in, which sometimes that can be harmful. It can really affect your mind. But if we have a purpose of where we want to put that energy, it can be used for good. So I thought that was an isolated event. Obviously, through history, just the last number of years, we can see that that was certainly not just a one-time event, but it has happened how many more times? Mass shootings. Terrible things. And these are all driven by Satan. So that same power, if you will, of Satan was in this queen, Athaliah. So, with that in light, or in mind, let's look at chapter 23. And verse 1, "And in the seventh year Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jehoram, and Ishmael the son of Jehohanan, and Azariah the son of Obed, and Maaseiah the son of Adiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zichri, into covenant with him. So he confided in him, in them. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah, and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king and the house of God, and he said unto them, Behold, the king's sons shall reign, as the Lord has said of the sons of David." So here we have a complete opposite. We have someone that, in light of this wicked queen who destroyed her grandchildren, it's really awful saying that, but that was the time and circumstance of time period. Here we have Jehoiada, the high priest. He strengthened himself. He gathered unto himself those that had dedicated themselves to the Lord, those that had confided in the Lord. He confided in them, and they went to Jerusalem, which is the center of worship. So they got their strength from Christ, from God. And that plan was really hatched there, where Joash became king. So that brings us to the next part. Chapter 24. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Ziba of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Becoming a king. Who would like to be a king when they're 7 years old? I've got a 7-year-old, obviously, and I can't imagine her being a queen at 7 years old, although she'd like to think she's a queen sometimes. But as you get older, you realize how little you know and how diverse people are. The wide range of backgrounds and ages. I don't know the age range in this audience, but each person has a different perspective and a different outlook. So here we have someone that becomes a king, and by the way, he's only 7 years old. The next one, chapter 25, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. So again, 25 years old, a couple years older than seven. I don't know, is anyone 25? You don't have to raise your hand. How would you like to become king? On the outset, it might seem like it's pretty fun, but when you consider all of the responsibilities that are placed on you at that age, it doesn't become so much fun, but it becomes a burden, or it can be. Next chapter. Chapter 26. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. So here we have a 16-year-old reigning. You know, when I turned 16, I was just thinking about getting my driver's license. I wasn't thinking about anything that would relate to ruling over 1-2 million people, maybe. A lot of responsibility there. But he reigned 52 years. It's quite a long time. The next one, chapter 27. I'm still in chapter 26. I wanted to read verse 15 of chapter 26. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped, till he was strong. Another word for engines would be catapults, if you didn't already know that. Medieval history, warfare, some of them are pretty fascinating tools just from what they came up with. But he strengthened himself and became quite strong. Until he was strong. Think about that a little bit. Chapter 27. Jotham was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Albeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. So the previous king, Uzziah, when he was strong, he went into the temple, and he wanted to make an offering instead of letting the priests do it, who were supposed to do it. And he got mad. And he became leprous. And he realized what he did. In verse 19 of chapter 26, it says, Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. While he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord. And a couple verses down, the next verse he says that he hasted. He ran out of there as fast as he could. He knew he was wrong. His son, Jotham, he did not do that. But he reigned rightly, if you will. But the people did corruptly. So that brings us to another portion in Hosea. the first verse of Hosea. I'll find it eventually. There we go. So it says the people did corruptly. These past kings, they did correctly, they did rightly. But it says the people did corruptly. And when I read that the kings, they dealt wisely and they ruled with good authority, but it says the people did corruptly, I thought, wow, what could they be doing? What was the state of the people during that time? And in my own personal reading, I was reading this as we were reading 2 Chronicles. First verse, excuse me. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beriah, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. I don't need to explain much here. But we see what the land was like, what the people did. And that was the state of the people. During the time of a good reign of a king, this was the state of the people. So the Lord used the prophet to kind of speak to the people of Israel, the children of Israel, just what they did, how they behaved. And then if we look over in chapter 7, we see a through this writing, we really see the heart of God. Hosea 7, verse 1, When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood. And the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. So, a brother this evening in the gospel meeting spoke of Satan and how he deceived, he lied. And Satan wants to do the same thing to each of us, to each of you young people, because he doesn't want you happy. He wants you off in your own little world doing things that would please what you think you want to do. And I speak to myself too. But we have the heart of God here because it says, When I would have healed Israel, the people did corruptly, but what was the heart of God? He would have healed Israel. That shows his mind. And then chapter 14 of Hosea. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. I like to think of that as precious words. Precious words going forth praising our Savior. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, Ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Now sometimes it's easy to take pride in what we do, and sometimes it's easy to step back and look at something and say, ha, look what I've done. Look at this model car I built. Look at this car I fixed. Or in my case, didn't fix. Look at what I designed. Look at what, you name it. Look at the artwork that I did. It's easy to get prideful, and that's what happened to the kings that failed. And even some of the good kings, they failed because they got prideful. That's what happened to Uzziah. He became strong, and then he fell down. At first, he was humble. Well, there's another king that was very humble to begin with, too. His name was Saul. What happened to him? He was rejected of God, and the next king in line from him was anointed while Saul was king. How would you like that? Your successor being shown to you, I don't know how many years ahead of Saul's demise. Something to think about. Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. Well, Lebanon is known for cedars, and I don't know if many of you know what cedars look like. I'm sure some of you do, but for me it was like an, oh, aha, that's what a cedar looks like. I've seen them, I don't know how many times, but I didn't really know what it looked like until I had to look it up. Anyway, the smell of a cedar tree, when you take the leaf and you crumble it, I love that smell. It's refreshing. Lebanon smells like that, or at least did. If you talk to someone who's from over there, they will say that most of the cedar trees are gone now. But they were known for the cedar trees. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree. His smell is Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit round. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Kind of a special message for you sisters. I don't know if you notice, but each one of these kings, in the verses that I read on the kings, it mentions the king's mother. And some of you will no doubt become mothers. And it is a special, special place. The influence that you have over children is not to be underestimated. It's not always easy. I'll tell you that from my wife's experience. But it is something that that will be rewarded beyond what you can ever imagine. And then lastly, I've got a couple verses in Ephesians. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that very wickedness that Athaliah had is the very same wickedness that we are born into this world with. We can't ever say, I will never do something like that. We cannot say that. Because as time goes on, who knows what circumstances we'll be put into. And it could very easily cross our mind. That's how Satan works. Sleight of hand. Little by little. And I say verse 4 because this is what it's all about. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So take a look around. Look at the person in front of you, beside you, behind you. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Part of a family. And each one of us affects the whole, whether we realize it or not. And as I've gotten older, can truly say that when the older ones say they care about the young people, they mean it, because I care about the young people. If you have a question, concern, a comment, first take it to the Lord. But if you need to talk to someone, do it. Sometimes we think people are strong. They have purpose. Get to talk to them and you find out that they're not strong. They struggle. We can look at people sometimes and think, they started at point A and point B is way up here. You think it's a straight line from point A to point B. I'll tell you, that's not true. It's more like a squiggly line. It goes up and down. It has peaks and valleys. We all have peaks. We all have valleys. Sometimes valleys we don't want to talk about. The Lord knows. Take it to Him. So young people, we love you. Just as God loves each and every one of you. Well, hope these thoughts can encourage you.